الحمد لله وكفى والصلاة والسلام على سيدنا المصطفى صلى الله تبارك وتعالى عليه وعلى آله وأصحابه وبارك وسلم تسليما كثيرا كثيرا. أما بعد، فأعوذ بالله من الشيطان الرجيم. بسم الله الرحمن الرحيم. يا أيها الناس اتقوا ربكم، إن زلزلة الساعة شيء عظيم. يوم ترونها تذهل كل مرضعة عما أرضعت، وتضع كل ذات حمل حملها، وترى الناس سكارى وما هم بسكارى ولكن عذاب الله شديد. وعن أبي هريرة رضي الله تعالى عنه عن النبي صلى الله عليه وسلم قال: سبعة يظلهم الله في ظله يوم لا ظل إلا ظله: إمام عادل، وشاب نشأ في عبادة الله عز وجل، ورجل قلبه معلق بالمساجد، ورجلان تحابا في الله اجتمعا عليه وتفرقا عليه، ورجل دعته امرأة ذات حمل ذات حسن وجمال فقال إني أخاف الله، ورجل تصدق بصدقة فأخفاها حتى لا تعلم شماله ما تنفق يمينه، ورجل ذكر الله خاليا ففاضت عيناه، أو كما قال صلى الله عليه وسلم. Respected and honorable ulama ikram, elders and brothers, young friends in Islam and sisters who may be listening over the receivers, Assalamu alaikum wa rahmatullahi wa barakatuh. Allah tabaraka wa ta'ala gives us an amazing opportunity on a Friday to redirect, recalculate, to focus our lives once again towards Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, towards Rasulullah sallallahu alayhi wa sallam. It's an opportunity to learn and to remind ourselves and to remember our objective and purpose in life. In many verses of the Holy Quran, Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala speaks about the day of judgment. He speaks about accountability before Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. He speaks about standing before Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, about giving an account of the things that we did in this world. In fact, it is one of the salient themes of the Holy Quran, and perhaps a page of the Quran does not go by after in which Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala does not speak about the hereafter, about the akhirat, about the day of jannat. وَأَمَّا مَنْ خَافَ مَقَامَ رَبِّهِ وَنَهَى النَّفْسَ عَنِ الْهَوَى فَإِنَّ الْجَنَّةَ هِيَ الْمَأْوَى. The first verses of the Quran, وَبِالْآخِرَةِ هُمْ يُوقِنُونَ. And like that, so many verses of the Holy Quran which speak about this day of Qiyamah, which speak about accountability, which speak about the hereafter. And then Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala also describes this day in quite a bit of detail in the Holy Quran. In one particular verse he says, O people, fear Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. اتقوا ربكم إن زلزلة الساعة شيء عظيم. The tremor, the quake, the shake up of the day of Qiyamah is going to be a very, very massive thing. It's going to be humongous. It's going to be great. إِنَّ السَّاعَةَ لَشَيْءٌ عَظِيمٌ إِنَّ زَلْزَلَةَ السَّاعَةِ لَشَيْءٌ عَظِيمٌ يَوْمَ تَرَوْنَهَا تَذْهَلُ كُلُّ مُرْضِعَةٍ عَمَّا أَرْضَعَتْ. You will see that a woman who is breastfeeding will let go of her breastfeeding child. A woman who might be pregnant will abort the child. And you will see people appearing as though they are in absolute bewilderment. And you will feel and think that they are intoxicated. وَمَا هُمْ بِسُكَارَى. But they are in reality not intoxicated. وَلَكِنَّ عَذَابَ اللَّهِ شَدِيدٌ. But the azab and the pain and the terror of that particular day of judgment is very, very intense. And that is why people will be behaving in this particular manner. In other verses in the Quran, Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala speaks about the day of judgment as on the day on which mountains will be floating around like cotton wool. In that particular manner, that is how great a day it will be. In the hadith of Rasulullah sallallahu alayhi wa sallam, Nabi alayhi salatu wa sallam also explains that various explanations, descriptions of the day of Qiyamah. In one particular hadith, Rasulullah sallallahu alayhi wa sallam explains and he says that on the day of judgment, on the day of Qiyamah, everyone will be there on the plains of the day of judgment, and the earth, the sun will be about a mile away. The Sahabi says that I do not know whether Rasulullah sallallahu alayhi wasallam was speaking about a mile in terms of distance, or in Arabic there is one word which is called al-meel. Meel is something that they use to put surma in your eyes, that stick. It will just be that much away from a person's head. And people will be drowning in their own perspiration. Now, all of these ahadith that are there, surely they cannot be fairy tales. It is not there just to, it is there to jolt us, to give us some sort of shock, to make us do the things that we are to do, and to make us abstain from the things which we are to abstain from. And that is why Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala sent Rasulullah sallallahu alayhi wa sallam as Bashira wa Nadira. He was Bashir. Bashir means one who gives good tidings and glad tidings. He gives glad tidings of Jannat. He encourages people to do goodness. And at the same time, he also warns us that if we are not going to adhere to that, then this is the torment and the terror that we are going to have to face. And this is, Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala is our creator, and he knows that we as human beings, we require on the one hand encouragement, and we also require to be frightened and scared by the things which will cause us harm, and that is how we will remain on track, insha'Allah. So nevertheless, Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala speaks about these, the great horrors of the day of judgment. In one particular hadith, Rasulullah sallallahu alayhi wasallam speaks about seven categories of people who are going to be under the shade of the arsh of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala on the day of judgment. And the ulama write that, and in fact Rasulullah sallallahu alayhi wasallam says and explains in the hadith that يَوْمَ لَا ظِلَّ إِلَّا ظِلُّ. This is the only shade that is going to be available for anyone on this day of Qiyamah, on the day of judgment. It will be the shade of the arsh of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. And when it comes to azab and punishment, the ulama write and they explain, in fact, we are encouraged to make dua to Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, Ya Allah, grant us, do not take our hisab kitab on the day of Qiyamah, accountability. Allahumma adkhilna al-jannata bighayri hisab. Oh Allah, enter us into Jannat without hisab. Oh, and the Quran speaks about hisaban yaseera, an easy hisab. Hazrat Aisha radiallahu ta'ala anha asked Rasulullah sallallahu alayhi wa sallam, what is an easy hisab? What is an easy account? So he said that your books are presented to us, Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. He takes a look at it and he tells you to go ahead. He doesn't ask any questions at all. And that is an easy hisab, because the minute a single question is even asked, there a person's azab will start. Because can you imagine? We have to ponder and reflect. And it's important for us to set aside some time in the day to reflect about the hereafter. To reflect about Jannat, about Jahannam, about the hereafter. Ek din poochega malik, ha bata kya kya kiya. Just reflect over this. Ek din poochega Malik, ha bata kya kya kya. That one day Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala is going to ask us, what are the things that we did? And this whole notion, the whole concept of accountability is such a thing. I recall Hazrat Maulana Yunus Patel sahab rahmatullah alayhi used to mention and say that if we have this concept of accountability within us, then that is the break. That is the thing that is going to stop us from a lot of things which are prohibited by Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. That is the thing that is going to make us do the things that Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala wants us to do. And if there's no concept of accountability, he used to say, and these are his words, he used to say, then we will need police to police the police. Then we will need police to police the police. And this is what exactly what you can see in not only our country, but many countries where we need scorpions to look after other people. And it goes on. Why? Because there is no concept of accountability. So this is one of the things that we as an ummah need to do as believers in Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala in the last day. We need to think and reflect and ponder about ek din poochega Malik, ha bata kya kya kya. That one day Allah tabaraka wa ta'ala is going to be asking us about what we did in this world. So I thought of discussing from amongst all of these things, all the horrors and the terrors that are going to be there on the day of judgment, there are going to be 7 categories of people who are going to be under the arsh of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. And the ulama write, where the shade, where there is going to be shade, there is going to be no azab. Wherever there is shade, there is no azab. So if a person is under the shade of the arsh of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, then such a person is going to be safe from the punishment, from the horrors, from the terrors of that particular day. And to Rasulullah sallallahu alayhi wasallam speaks about these 7 categories of people, and they are well within each of our reach. It's within our reach to achieve the qualities that Nabi alayhi salatu wasallam has mentioned about these 7 categories of people. So the first category of people who Rasulullah sallallahu alayhi wasallam says will be under the arsh, or under the shade of the arsh on the day of Qiyamah, is Imamun Adilun, a just ruler. A just ruler. Now the question might come about that, you know, it takes a long time for a person to become a ruler. There are only a certain number of rulers in this world. As many countries as there are, 150 some odd countries, so that's 180 countries, whatever it may be. That's how many rulers there would be. But it is not limited to that. It is, every person is a ruler in his home. Every person is a ruler over his own very body. The ulama write, the 6-foot body that you have, this body has got various provinces. The province of your eyesight, the province of your ears, the province of your tongue, the province of your heart and mind, the province of your hands and feet. And if you govern over the 6-foot body of yours, or 5-foot body of yours, with adl and justice, then you will fall under the category of people who will be under Imamun Adilun, a just ruler. A person who ruled over his body. Whatever hukumat, whatever governance Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala gave you in this world, a person is a ruler over that. And if he rules with justice, he will fall under this very category. Notwithstanding this explanation, every person, if a person has got, he is an employer, then his just rule over his employees, he is kind, he is compassionate, he is loving, he is caring, he pays on time. If a person is engaged in business, then he makes sure he pays on time. He falls under this very same category of just rule. He does not differentiate between rich and poor in matters of adl, in matters of justice and oppression. No. He is just. What is right is right. And the person falls under the category of Imamun Adil. Similarly, if a person is a teacher, then how he rules over his classroom. If a person is a parent, the father or the mother, how he manages his household, he is kind and loving and affectionate. A person is the leader in the home. The husband is the leader in the house. The father is the leader in the house. How that father manages his home with love and compassion, with setting down the principles. He is worried and concerned about the well-being and the spiritual well-being of his wife and his children. All of these fall under the category of Imamun Adil. So this is the first category of people whom Rasulullah sallallahu alayhi wasallam spoke about as being saved from the punishment and the horrors and the terrors of the day of judgment. That we must be, there must be concern, there must be fikr, there must be a worry that is there, that a person wants to be just in what he says. He does not utter words of oppression in anger or happiness. Whatever he says is right, irrespective of what his mood is. Imamun Adilun. This is what Imamun Adilun is. Where he is supposed to give, he gives. Where he is supposed to withhold, he withholds. Imamun Adilun. So that is the first category of people, and there can be a lot of explanation and one can go into it, but due to the lack of time, we would prefer to go on. So at least we cover the seven categories broadly, and then we can think and ponder and reflect on how we can implement and imbibe and make this part and parcel of our lives, and that we fall under these categories of individuals. The second category of people which Rasulullah sallallahu alayhi wasallam mentioned was shabun nasha'a fi ibadatillahi azza wa jal. A youth, a young boy, a youth, 14, 15, 16 years of age, 17, 18 years of age, who grew up in the obedience of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. The obedience of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, sometimes we limit it to a very narrow scope. We limit it to the performance of our salah and to the fulfillment of some rituals or acts. But the obedience of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala is very broad. It refers to obedience of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, and it also refers to abstinence from the disobedience of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. And this together, both things together, mean the obedience of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala and the worshipping of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. And without one of them, so if a person is doing the obedience, he's doing the things that we are supposed to do, but he's not abstaining from the things that he is supposed to abstain from, then we will not say that he is in the obedience of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. Khata hai wo zahar bhi, muqawwi ghiza ke saath, aadi hai jo gunah ka, zikre khuda ke saath. The person, together with eating very wholesome food, if together with that he has a bout of poison every now and again, can such a person ever become healthy? Can he have a wholesome diet? Will we say that his diet is a wholesome diet? No. Because together with the wholesome things that he's eating, he's having something which is dangerous for his health. He's having a bout of poison. So together with the things that we ought to be doing, we have to abstain from the things which Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala has asked us to abstain from. So a youth, a young boy, and Rasulullah sallallahu alayhi wa sallam, Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, he has spoken about the youth in many verses of the Quran, in many ahadith of Rasulullah sallallahu alayhi wa sallam. Because the reality of the matter is that the youth are the future of this ummah. And the youth of this ummah have to be focused. They have to be on the right track. We cannot afford that our youth, and I like to believe that everyone considers himself a youth. Isn't that the case? That everyone considers himself a youth. So we must then be focused. Shabun nasha'a fi ibadatillahi azza wa jal. We spend our youth in the obedience of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. We cannot be distracted by things which are going to take away this capital of life away from us. Wallah, brothers, we are made up of time. We must think of it like that. We are made up of time. When a second goes by, it's as though a part of us has been chopped off and has been put aside. Except that it doesn't happen like that. It happens all of a sudden that when our time is up, we just drop dead. But time should not be wasted and spent in frivolous activities, in futile activities. There was a pious servant of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala who said, and he mentioned that if I know, he told his students, a great muhaddith, he said to his students that if I know that I am going to live only for the next 24 hours, then I have looked at my schedule and there is nothing more that I can do to prepare more for the akhirat than I am already doing. Can you imagine? Already the schedule is such that there is so much of preparation for the akhirat that even if the person knows that he's going to die after 24 hours, there is no room in that schedule to put anything else in there so that he can make any further preparation for the akhirat. This is how focused a person needs to be, especially we as youth of the ummah of Rasulullah sallallahu alaihi wasallam. Life must not be spent away in frivolous, in futile activities, especially unnecessary viewing of sporting activities. After 5 days, if a person watched ball-to-ball coverage, and if it is a draw, then what did a person actually achieve out of that? Even if one team won and the other one lost, what did a person achieve? Or one team won some league match, what did a person achieve? If we want to, it's far better for us to go out ourselves and play, just rather than sitting as couch potatoes and wasting our time away. Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala guide us. Then Rasulullah sallallahu alayhi wa sallam said, the third category of people who will be under the shade of the arsh on the day of Qiyamah, رَجُلٌ قَلْبُهُ مُعَلَّقٌ بِالْمَسَاجِدِ. A man whose heart is attached to the masjid. He left from Zuhr and he's already worried about his Asr. Does that happen to us? We need to think and reflect and ponder. Are we those who we have made the masjids our frequenting place on a weekly basis on the occasion of Jum'ah? This is Rasulullah sallallahu alayhi wasallam is saying, رَجُلٌ قَلْبُهُ مُعَلَّقٌ بِالْمَسَجِدِ. His heart is stuck in the masjid. Mu'allaq, it's suspended in the masjid. His meetings revolve around his salah time. He's concerned when he's setting up an appointment that how will I get back to the masjid for my asr, for my maghrib, for my isha salah. رَجُلٌ قَلْبُهُ مُعَلَّقٌ بِالْمَسَاجِدِ. This is something that is very, very important. And this is something that we need to bring alive in our lives. This frequenting of the masjid, wallah brothers, it has such a profound impact on a person's spirituality. And therefore, this is something that we need to strive to bring back into our lives and make it part and parcel of our lives. There should not be a man in the community whose 5 daily salahs are not happening in the masjid, with jama'at, with salah, with congregation. The first thing that we are going to be asked on the day of Qiyamah is about our salah. As-salatu imaduddin. Man aqamaha faqad aqama ad-din. Man hadamaha faqad hadama ad-din. Salah is a pillar of deen. A person establishes it, he's established deen. He's destroyed his salah, he's destroyed deen. There's so much that a person can achieve just by having a good salah, a proper salah. The pious predecessors, they were able to achieve and ask anything for Allah from Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala by spreading out the prayer mat and performing 2 rakats of salah, and they were able to achieve their goals. And these are realities, it's not fairy tales and just stories. Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala grant us an understanding. Then Rasulullah sallallahu alayhi wa sallam said, the fourth category of people are those who رَجُلَان تَحَابَّ فِي اللَّهِ اجتمع عليه وتفرق عليه. There are those two people who love each other solely for the sake of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. If they meet for the sake of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. When they leave from each other, they leave each other for the sake of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. But their meeting is for no other motive, no other purpose. Their purpose is only for the pleasure of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. And we can ponder and reflect on who such type of people these must be. Who such type of people these must be? Surely it's not those who attend just only business meetings. or just go in for a consult on tax-related issues. So surely it can't, or those who just meet for some health-related issues, it can't be that, because there's a motive there. And I'm not saying all of these things are wrong. They all are fine. It's in its place. But there must be certain people who we meet only for the pleasure of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, only to learn about Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala from them. Only to enhance our connection with Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala for. And we must ponder and reflect over this as well. Because such people are going to be from amongst the seven under the arsh of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. And then Nabi alayhi salatu wasalam said, رَجُلٌ دَعَتْهُ إِمْرَأَةٌ ذَاتُ حُسْنٍ وَجَمَالٍ. And a man who, a beautiful woman of status, of beauty, calls onto him to commit sin, and he says to her that I cannot commit the sin, إِنِّي أَخَافُ اللَّهِ, I fear Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. In other words, even in the seclusion of an overseas country, even in the seclusion of a hotel room, a person, he knows, أَلَمْ يَعْلَمْ بِأَنَّ اللَّهَ يَرَى, he knows that Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala is watching him all of the time. جو کرتا ہے تو چھپ کے اہلِ جہاں سے, کوئی دیکھتا ہے تجھے آسمان سے. That which we do, hiding from the people of the world, someone is watching us from above. And he knows our every movement. He knows the deception that we commit with our eyes. Our face is in one direction and our eyeballs are facing another direction. And he knows the deception and the thoughts that cross our minds. And this is something that we need to do all the time and remind ourselves. But the person is cognizant of the presence of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. And even if someone offers their beauty free of charge, our Shaykh Hazrat Mawlana Hakim Muhammad Akhtar Sahib Rahmatullah Alayh, he used to say in a jovial manner, but it has such importance and such depth in it. He said that, Usne kaha, come here. Usne kaha, come here. Maine kaha, no please. Usne kaha, come here. Maine kaha, no please. Usne kaha, kya wajah? Maine kaha, khofe khuda. She said, come here. I said, no, not at all. Usne kaha, kya wajah? Why? Maine kaha, khofe khuda. The fear of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala is something that must stop a person. It must be the break that stops a person from committing vices and evil and disobedience to Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. Then a person is going to be saved on that particular day, and he will be under the arsh of under the shade of the arsh of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. Then Nabi alayhi salatu wasalam said, وَرَجُلٌ تَصَدَّقَ. A person who gives charity and sadaqah in such a way that when he gives with his right hand, his left hand does not even know what he spent. When he gives with his right hand, his left hand doesn't even come to know what. In other words, so secretly he gives those charities. He helps the orphans, the widows, the poor, the needy. The Quran, of course, speaks about in certain occasions it is important to give our charity openly. In tubdu sadaqat fa ni'mahi, the verse of the Quran says, if you give charity openly, then it is good. Wa in tukhfuha wa tu'tuha al-fuqara fa huwa khayrun lakum. But if you conceal it and you give the poor, then that is better for you in that particular manner. So there may be occasions where it's important to give it openly, when there is the collective need of the community, when people are looking at the community as though they are not doing anything as a minority, then there may be a need for the community to do certain acts of charity in a public way. But by and large, our charities must be concealed. There must be no need to boast about those charities. There must be no inner requirement to show people that this is what I did. Every now and again, sometimes, you know, the nafs, now and again, in some different way, it will say and show off in that particular way, and we don't even realize that our actions are lost by us giving vent or announcing the charities that we have given in that particular manner. So never, this is another way of charity that we, if we give it in that way, that is how we can attain the shade of the arsh. And then Rasulullah sallallahu alayhi wa sallam mentions the seventh category. He said, رَجُلٌ ذَكَرَ اللَّهَ خَالِيًا فَفَاضَتْ عَيْنَاهُ. A person who remembers Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala خَالِيًا, without anything else in his heart, without thinking about anything else. He remembers Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, and the greatness, the awe, the beauty of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala affects him to such an extent that he starts tearing. He starts tearing. He starts sobbing in the love of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. Or he thinks of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala and his sins, and he cries for the forgiveness of his sins. Has that ever happened to us? Does it happen to us on a regular basis? These are things that we need to ponder and reflect. And like I say, it only needs a little bit of focus. It's not difficult to achieve these things. We need to just set aside some time from our busy schedules. Before we sleep at night, think and ponder and reflect. Think about Allah subhanahu, about the ni'mats, about our body, about the bounties that Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala has blessed us, about the sins that we have. And let us sob and cry. One of the du'as that Rasulullah sallallahu alayhi wa sallam made, Allahumma rzuqni aynayni hattalatayn. Oh Allah, grant me eyes that sob in your love. Grant me eyes that sob in your love. Have we ever asked that du'a? Ya Allah, grant us eyes that sob in your love. A heart that throbs in your love. Our heart throb should be Allah. Our eyes sob should be Allah. Then a person becomes worthy of being under the arsh of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala grant us all the tawfiq to ponder over these seven categories of people and to work towards being from amongst them. And Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala grant us the shade of the arsh of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala on the day of Qiyamah. May Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala remove the problems, the difficulties, the calamities of the ummah around the world. وآخر دعوانا أن الحمد لله رب العالمين.